Sound test, Joe, go.
Well, this is a very complicated podcast, Jason. Fortunately, I've been adhering to a pretty strict taco regimen to keep my mind limber.
That's a good sound test. Here's my sound test. Taco regimen. Oh, we didn't decide who's going to talk over the bed. Let's both talk at the same time.
Talk over the bed?
All right, everybody, listen up. You're out there. You're throwing gang signs. Your pants are around your knees. You're acting the fool. You're in your 60s. You need to stop it. And when I say stop it, I mean you need to start it up. You need to commit. I need you to hold that neener sideways. And when you pop a cap in some mofo's ass, own that shit, yo.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then this isn't just Be Cousins. Boom, ba-doo, boom, boom, ba-doo, boom, boom. I only know one word to this song. Here we go. There. That's it. That's the only words to the song I know.
Yeah, I picked that one out of the lyrics, too. Yeah, I got that one. Now, what do people in their 60s hold sideways?
Their neener.
Before they... Their what?
Neener. Isn't that how you pronounce it?
Explain to our listener what a neener is. Or how come I don't know what a neener is?
Isn't that how Dr. Dre pronounced... the name of his gun in Nothing But a G Thing? And you know, when I got my neener, then you must be straight tripping. I'll have to look it up. Something like that.
No, okay. No, that's... I'm buying it totally. I just couldn't remember what a neener was. I thought it was like a... I was thinking about old people paraphernalia of some kind.
Well... Dr. Dre now is what? Probably in his 60s, so maybe it is. I don't know. How old is that guy? He's like 70-something?
I just called our parents old people. That's kind of rude.
They are old people.
It's not fair.
They are. They're ancient. They're in their... They're old. I'm going to look up how old Dr. Dre is. I'm going to look up the lyric to Nothing But a G Thing. And then I'm going to tell you another music anecdote. And then we're going to get into the show. And in between all those bits, Joe... I'm going to open a beer and you're going to interrupt and tell me stuff, because this is not the Jason Mark show. This is the Joe and Jason Mark show. Joseph Neal and Jason Mark show. How have you been? How's your week been?
It's fucking exhausting and it's hot.
It's hot there in Davenport, huh?
Yeah, it is. Actually, you caught me. I'm not in Davenport this week.
Oh, really? Are you traveling?
4th of July, we did some traveling, but it seems like work, and I've been doing work every day. Anyway, you know, I don't have to be at the Taco Bell to get a lot of stuff done. A lot of my stuff as a manager is correspondence and emails. And we took a trip down here to San Diego, and I thought it would be comfortable, and I thought it would be nice. And actually, it is. Compared to Davenport, I don't know, man. It's too hot down here. It's actually nicer in Davenport, to tell you the truth. It's fucking hot in San Diego.
Hot.
Man, still here.
Still there. When do you go back? When do you get to go home?
It's a Sunday. I said that with conviction.
Sunday. Bloody Sunday. I just did a bad opera version of a U2 song. I found the lyric. Here it is. My motherfucking homie doggy dog has got my back. Never let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping. But if I got my Nina, then you know I'm straight tripping.
Ah. Is that slang for like Glock 9? And I mean, I couldn't be whiter than I am right now.
You could be, but only if you're reading the lyrics to Nothing But a G Thing.
I think we both scored about an 11 out of a 10 on whiteness in the last 30 seconds.
Yep. And we own it, too.
Neener. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's spelled in the Google Play lyrics. Mm-hmm. See, I just upped the whiteness ante. It's spelled N-I-N-A, and it's capitalized. But if I got my Nina, my Nina, Nina. He says it in the song. You clear it here. He says Neener. He was the on there.
Well, I think he's a vibrant person. He might be. Wait, how old did you say he was?
That's my next thing I'm looking up. Okay. Look him up on Wikipedia here. He's born in 1965. So that makes him, let me do the math, 51, 52?
Ah, see? He's still a young man.
Still a young man.
I think our parents are vibrant, lively people. They're in their 60s.
Yeah.
Right?
They're vibrant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're lively. And they're people.
Well, and Dr. Dre's, he's not all about violence. He's also, he's about bitches. He's about hoes. I think he's still about all these things. I don't think, after he turned 50, I don't think suddenly there was no more bitches or hoes or ninas. I think he still has some enthusiasm about those things. And probably also marijuana. Wasn't that a big, I think that was like maybe number three on the top three, you know, song themes of Dr. Dre.
His one of his albums was called The Chronic.
There you go.
So
maybe he's number one, not just top three, number one.
Yeah.
Weed, bitches, and guns.
Yeah. Well, he's worth right now $740 million, according to Wikipedia. And, of course, he got that money from selling his headphones to Apple. So I think that's what he's about. He's about having made it very well. He's done very well for himself, this Mr. Andre Rommel Young. I guess that's his real name.
I bet his lifestyle, what the hell do I know about Dr. Dre? I bet his lifestyle is really interesting and probably far away from the topics that he explored in his youth.
Probably.
Bitches, hoes, and guns.
Isn't always the case, though? I mean, if we look at the lyrics of some of your music, Joe, none of them were about being the manager of a Taco Bell in Davenport, Iowa. None of them were about 4th of July's in Too Hot, San Diego. None of your songs, if I recall, and I might not have the lyrics completely right. After all, I'm not good at remembering them. But none of them said anything about doing a podcast with your cousin from 8 to 9 p.m. on a Thursday evening. West Coast.
Right. So you don't, when you're young writing songs, you're not necessarily predicting your future. It's not, when you get a little bit older, you're not, you can no longer be represented by songs that you wrote in your 20s. I hear what you're saying.
Because music belongs to youth. Let's face it, it belongs to youth. I don't care how old you are or how much you love the music you're making. Music is for young people. And if you do enjoy it, you're probably harkening back to your youth, don't you think? Who comes to music in old age? Everybody who loves music began loving it when they were young. Am I right or am I right?
And you love it in a way that only a young person can love it, I think. And then that music makes a particular imprint on you, especially because sometimes you're experimenting with drugs and the music just blows your fucking brain right open. And those experiences kind of stick with you. Unless you're fucked up enough to forget them completely.
Right. And so you make the song so that you can't forget them. If all you're doing is running around with your Nina or your existential angst. And so like, okay, I'm messed up on some serious chronic right now. I'd better make a song about this so I remember it later. Kind of like that movie. What was that movie? Memento. Was that what it was called? About the guy who got the long-term memory loss.
Yeah, retrograde amnesia.
Yeah, that guy. So it's like that.
Anterograde amnesia? I don't know.
It's one of those grade amnesias. It's a grade, for sure. And it's like that, except with songs instead of tattoos. Yeah.
That was actually a movie that made an imprint on me because I was the first time I saw it, I was I'm back on this. Well, this is the topic, I guess, that I was interested in exploring today.
Oh, yeah, what's
but
that?
I watched Memento when I was experimenting with a substance. Came out when I was way younger, and I was trying to keep up with it, and it was really hard. But I did decide in my altered state that it was a mind fuck of a movie. And I still believe that it is. Yeah.
So what
I've
is
seen
it
several times since then, and it's in sober states.
Okay. Sober states like Nebraska and Idaho. Ba-dum-bum.
Hey.
Hey yo. Yeah. So, but what? So, what's the subject then that you said you wanted to talk about? Is it that movie, mindfuck movies, drugs, or? I mean, you said this is something you wanted to talk about.
I was thinking altered states.
Altered states. Okay.
Drugs.
Now that's a mindfuck of a movie. Altered states. You ever see that one?
Yeah, that is a mindfuck. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Again, a movie you probably shouldn't watch when you're, say, like on mushrooms or something.
Probably not. But it also has drugs in it. So it kind of goes with what you're talking about.
No, this is true.
Yeah. All right. Here's my other stupid music thing, and then we can get into your subject.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, I like to tell people what I'm going to say and then say it and then tell them what I told them. Learned that in fifth grade.
I was
in the bathroom this earlier today, which means I was looking at my phone, and I'm flipping through Google News, and these articles pop up because it said, you said you were once interested in, you know, Kirstie Alley. So here's five articles about Kirstie Alley. I was like, okay, thanks. But I like running, and so an article from Runner's World came up, and I'm trying to find it now so I can quote to you from it. But it said, here is the best playlist that we could think of for you to listen to while you're running. And so I'm already going in this going, no, I very much doubt that they're going to tell me anything that I want to hear. And I'm looking at this list, and I was right. It's shit. And just...
And, I wasn't expecting that. Okay.
And it's...
But you were.
I was. And it's not that I have a problem with any one person's music choice. We've talked about this. Anything that anybody wants to listen to for any reason whatsoever, I think that that's a wonderful thing. And I'm not going to judge them for that. I don't care what they're listening to. If you like listening to children's nursery rhymes, or if you like to listen to 432 megahertz with a nice little beat underneath it, I don't care. It's great. As long as you're happy. But the audacity of like saying we're going to dedicate column space in a internationally syndicated magazine to tell you what we think is good. I mean, it's just music is so fucking personal. I mean, why would it do that? It's like saying, hey, we're going to show you a close up of our asshole, our clean asshole for non-purient reasons, but just to show you what an asshole looks like. I don't care. They're all different. Why
people really follow the lead of those types of publications, though. Like even the some asshole that has just no credibility as a movie critic or anything else will just post a video of these are the top 10 action movies of all time, and he just decides his favorite. But I swear to God, people, they watch these things and it's. It gets to them, and they're influenced by it. And it makes it difficult for them to like make up their own minds, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe they just go, oh, yeah, and then they make their own top 10 video. And, like, you know.
Well, if they do, I approve of that. I mean, if you're going to react to some, the only thing that's good about this is you're exactly right. If a person reacts to it with disdain and goes on to do something better for the world than this bullcrap, like – what you're saying, somebody says, well, I'm gonna do my own movie list, or me, I'm gonna complain about it on a podcast. This is how stupid it was. I'm on the Runner's World website right now trying to find this article, and I couldn't find it. I'm scrolling through their, you know, most recent articles, and I can't find it. So I just did a little typey thing in their search thing, and it came up, and this photo that comes up at the top of it I recognized from 3 seconds ago when I was scrolling, but it's so inappropriate, I didn't even think it was the right picture. It's some Matthew McConaughey looking man bun wearing dude with a guitar next to some woman spazzing out on over her mandolin guitar thing. And it's just like these people. I mean, if you like listening to the Stray Locals when you go for a jog, good for you. But fuck you if you think I'm supposed to. Don't. I'm Joe. It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm taking a crap and I don't need this crap in my face. I'm going to tell you some of the bands. You tell me if you would run to these bands. You tell me.
If here's I even know them. Let's. I didn't recognize the first one. So
neither did
hear.
I. Okay. How about First Aid Kit?
No, but I have to admit I like the name of that band.
What about the Shins?
Hey, I have run to the Shins.
Okay. All right. All right. We're one
Shins,
for one.
That's good shit.
We're one for two. How about Vampire Weekend?
Well, you were just tickled by that, weren't you?
Well,
Vampire Weekend, yeah. Actually, yes, very good band, dude. Holy shit, I'm surprised. Am I back in the loop or something?
Maybe you are.
I don't know any bands anymore.
I'm laughing because Vampire Weekend is the go-to make fun of them band for stand-up comedian Wyatt Cenac. So,
whenever
he wants to make fun of white people or hipsters, he mentions Vampire Weekend. Okay, you've heard of this band, Cake. How about a band called Feist?
Digging it. I do like Feist. I think that's just one rather talented woman, Feist.
Feist. All right, maybe. Maybe I'm the asshole here. I'll just read a couple more. Lake Street Dive, Matt and Kim, Foster the People, Passion Pit, Arctic Monkeys, them I like, Alt J, Death Cab for Cutie. Are you fucking kidding me?
Alt J's good. Death Cab for Cutie's good.
But are you going to go for a run listening to Death Cab for Cutie?
Oh, probably not.
I mean,
look, I don't want to agree with a guy with a fucking man bun. I will if I have to, but I couldn't have a man bun if I really wanted one. But I was really expecting a lot of just crap or stuff that I couldn't recognize at all. I'm surprised by this list. Just all
right,
the
then
whole way through.
Let me see if I can. The Alabama Shakes.
Really good band, Jason.
God damn
it. I'm not even fucking with you. I feel like this seems almost like staged. Like, okay, and now every band I say you have to like, and then we can scream at each other. But I swear to God, Alabama Shakes is a fucking good band.
Okay, I went for a run today. I'm going to tell you what was on the playlist I listened to. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to, as soon as I find it, God damn it, where to go? It's the name of the playlist is Diamond Fuzz. All right, there it is. This, oh shit, they're all unknown artists because I stole these songs. I can do this. Bear with me 3 seconds. 2, 1. But okay, well, you like these bands. That's a beautiful thing. I'm glad that you agree with
that. You know who I think would agree with you? It looks like we have a surprise caller, and he's chomping at the bit to call in. Maybe you'd like to present your running list to both of us, and then
that's what I'll do.
We'll see. Maybe one of us will vehemently disagree. I have a feeling that you guys have a lot in common when it comes to music you might choose to run to. But let's see. I think Ian Sane is getting ready. He's been ready. He's in the stable.
I
keep calling him a horse.
I don't see him. I don't see him on my list of contacts. Oh wait, there he is.
Bad.
There he is. Okay. There he is. Now, how do I add him to a group call? Add to group call. Group. Oh, I gotta play his intro music.
Good day, sirs.
Hey!
How's it going?
It's going
Insane.
Pretty well. Did you hear your intro music back there?
I didn't hear anything. I heard nothing.
Alright, it's probably for the best.
We're gonna keep giving that a try until it works. Wait, did it work, Jason? Maybe it did.
I heard it, and therefore my recording heard it. As you know, Ian, your intro song is Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine, a song and a band that I think is very appropriate for listening to while going for a run. Do you agree or disagree, sir?
I don't agree that it's ever a good idea to go for a run, but other than that, yes.
Well said.
It's a great song for the gym, that's for sure.
Okay, there you go. All right. Well, what about the Decemberists, Ian? Are they a great band for the Jim?
I am not familiar with the Decemberists.
Good answer.
I like that band.
Do you? They're probably not very good then.
They're good.
Oh,
they're from Canada. They're kind of like R.E.M.-ish. Kind of like Counting Crows-ish.
Okay, what about Carolina Chocolate Drops? Are they good for the gym?
No. No, you know what's good for the gym is Run the Jewels. Run the Jewels is great for the gym.
Run
Ooh,
the Jewels.
That is good.
I don't know
that. You can't get better than that. Or Ministry. Maybe old Tool. That's good stuff for the gym.
Okay, how about Karma to Burn, or High on Fire, or The Sword, or Glow Sun?
Just down with High on Fire.
Now it just sounds like me and Joe just like making up band names at this point. I don't even know if those are real.
Those are all real, my friend, and required listening for all people who
How much rage do they have in them? Because for gym music, you really need either I need either like rage or trance music, and like so anything without one of those sorts of styles is not good for me in the gym.
I think High on Fire has some rage in it. Yeah, I'd be blown away if Sword doesn't have any rage in
the
it.
The Sword, yeah.
Yeah, but you never
sexual
know.
Rage.
let's just listen to 3 seconds of High on Fire to see if they've got any rage.
Quiet.
I've got the volume down because I'm stupid. But there you go. That was ragey. Let's get to the part where he's singing. I can crank it, I guess, over here with this button. Where's this button? Yeah. Yeah, he's upset.
Yeah, he's angry. I mean, that's exactly the kind of music that's usually playing in powerlifting gyms. So
yeah,
not out of the norm at all.
Yeah, not songs by, Matt and Kim or Lake Street Dive or Foster the People.
No.
Foster the People. You must have been forced to have listened to one of their songs at least once, Jason.
It's possible. Look. I am not saying that any of these bands are bands that I would not necessarily listen to. I'm not saying that I hate them. And I'm certainly not saying that Mr. Man Bun here on the screen shouldn't go for a run listening to these songs. That makes him, get a PR. Great. Awesome. But don't tell me that this is what they titled the article, Ian. The Best Running Songs, July 2017 Playlist.
Is it a bunch of bullshit?
It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, in case you didn't put it together, Jason had read this article. There's a picture of an asshole with a man bun, and there's a list of a bunch of bands that Jason feels are inappropriate to run to. He then rattled off the bands, and about 80% of them I thought were great.
Okay, let me be clear. Let me get clear, and I'm going to get Ian's feedback. I don't think that they're ipso facto inappropriate. I think that it is inappropriate to tell me and the rest of the people who read this magazine that this is a playlist that just anybody could listen to. No, that's just
with the audacity that someone would tell you what to run to.
Yes.
I don't even think it's that. I like getting suggestions, but for me, like, I love Leonard Cohen. I would never even imagine listening to Leonard Cohen while I'm working out, right? Like, it just doesn't track.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a bad choice.
If you're a hipster with a man bun, then, do your thing.
Right. Well, I like listening to Jethro Tull, Thick as a Brick, when I go for a run. And, that's me. But I'm not going to tell somebody, hey, next time you go for a run, you should listen to this. Because then they will punch me in the face. And I will bleed.
Well, if they're angry enough that they listen to music with rage in it, then they probably will, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I would say maybe what my takeaway from this conversation is maybe runs – in contrast to what your point is, Jason, and that is you've given me a lot of good recommendations of music to run to, and I'm inspired to begin running again.
Hey, well, that's
Ian, good. Would you like to go on a run? Oh, wait, no, Ian's not into that shit.
No, but I'll tell you what. Come up to Santa Cruz, and we can go lift.
There we go. With rage. Not rage against the machine, but music with rage in general in the background.
Although, appropriately enough, Rage Against the Machine does have some rage in it.
It better.
It really does.
That's the whole point.
I agree. It's just, that's good because their name has rage in it.
So right in there. Right. It would be, rage, it would
so
be
it
like,
better have some fucking rage.
Terrible false advertising otherwise.
Totally. Yeah. Like the crash test dummies. Those guys weren't crash test dummies. They were just people.
No. That was just bullshit.
That's just bullshit.
What about Flock of Seagulls? I mean, they have a song about running.
You know what? That song, Ian, I'm not joking. That song is on my running iPod, and
sick.
I love it because it's got a 3-note guitar solo. It's the same 3 notes over and over again, and that is a good 35 seconds of sprinting for me. Yes.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I think that song is more representative of my workout regimen because it says, I ran. It doesn't say, I'm running, or I will run.
At one point in my life, I ran.
Yeah. Right.
So far away.
I'm hearkening back to the past, perhaps almost to a time when the Flock of Seagulls were touring or were popular. I mean, it's been a while.
I think
they were still touring in the 2000s.
Okay, well, yeah, that's the last time I ran.
You should see a picture.
Like the year 2000.
The This is not the music episode. I apologize, Joe, for hijacking. But just while we're on the subject of Flag of Seagulls, two things. One, they're definitely a band that if I ever heard any other song by them, I would not know it was them. Two, the guy with the hair, the seagull guy, the flock guy, the one that was referenced in Pulp Fiction when the dude was about to shoot the other dude, he's 100% bald right now. I mean, what a complete reversal of hair things.
I bet he has a very well-sculpted wig that he puts on so he can lean on that keyboard when he goes on tour nowadays at state fairs.
I'm looking at him.
Bar mitzvahs.
I'm looking at him. And he's,
no,
he's
still touring.
Yeah, he's bald. Still playing that one-finger keyboard.
He doesn't put on his fucking Ed Grimley wig when he fucking goes out the door.
No.
Okay.
Bald
and sweaty. He's got some dignity about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Not even like a Ace Ventura 2 When Nature Calls type of wig. That, I think that would work.
Go crawl out of the butt of a rhinoceros singing. Hold the microphone up.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
That would be
nice.
That would be good. Hey, speaking of being up the butt of rhinoceros, Ian, one of the things that Joe wanted to talk about today is Adventures in Pharmacy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And,
I have
we had kind of a tug of war earlier because Jason tends to move every episode toward music, which actually I don't have a big problem with that. But I was like, this can be easy because I can keep bringing up drugs because drugs and music go together really well. So he kept bringing up music. I kept bringing up drugs. And pretty soon Jason just won and we were talking about music. So I brought you in to maybe see if we could get maybe slide back into the topic of drugs, but now you guys are both here and we're chatting about whatever the fuck, and I don't care anymore.
Yeah, because this show was a trip. See what I did there?
Hey!
Oh!
Yeah.
That wasn't
it. See, Joe, I thought what we were going to talk about tonight is the podcast. I thought we were going to lay out everything that we do it was going to be our first meta podcast. But I think drugs is a better topic, and the reason I think that is because we have nothing else prepared. No ad by Larco, no ad from American Airlines, no montage, none of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, Ian, if you knew what you're getting yourself into, but we call this these types of episodes bareback episodes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, which is always great. It's always good to mix drugs and bareback.
Well, it's a three-way gay bareback. Well. Gay because we're happy to be together, but it's
goes really well with drugs.
But being happy,
being happy.
It's
anyway,
true.
Yeah. So there will be that. We have no copy. Nobody has chosen to support us. We have no written bits. We have no montages. We have only ourselves.
That's great because it means there's no advertisers to offend. So Joe, tell me something. When you were super, super fucking high, what was your favorite music to listen to? So give me the two ends. Give me the stoned out of your gourd and the tweaking balls.
Tweaking, like if I were on stimulants. Let me go back to early college days here in my mind, and I would say if I were super stoned, it would be, back then, fucking like the Black Crowes really did it for me.
Yeah.
There's that side of things. And then on the other side, it would have been Tool, or you had mentioned Ministry before. Yeah. If I was up all night partying too hard,
I remember there was one point where you were, I don't remember how it came up, but we were talking about music, and I said to you in complete seriousness, Joe, you need more angry music, because you were feeling some personal angst about some stuff, and I think we might have been high, and you were listening to just a bunch of soft music, and it was all I'm sure very musically accomplished, but. You just needed some really angry music, but you always at least
there wasn't enough anger. There was plenty of like just sadness or just overwhelming waves of emotion in general. But I think especially not for your taste, Ian. Your taste, like you said, rage. I feel like you've always kind of been, you've leaned toward that anyway.
I like how you said you're sure that it was musically accomplished, which is, I think, the band equivalent of saying she has a nice personality.
Or a good handwriting.
Yeah. I'm sure the music you were listening to was musical, Joe, but it had no...
She's super hot. I mean, I'd fuck her, except, you know, she's got an ugly face. That's what we call that.
Yeah.
We call that a... Oh, my God. There are several terms for that. That is just... That's ugly.
It is. Yeah, ugly is the best term for it. Lovely, yeah. So, Ian, tit for tat, what's your go-to song for when you're blasted out of your gourd, or when you were blasted? Is it Ministry and the like?
And the like, I'd say the two that I spent a lot of time with. Well, let me give you the three actually that I spent a ton of time with over a couple of years when I spent basically 24 hours a day high, which would be Pantera, My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult.
Oh yeah,
Wu-Tang.
I only know
the third one.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Ah, Wu-Tang.
I only know one song by My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, and it's the one off of the Crow soundtrack.
That's the first song I ever heard by them, and it made me really start liking them, and then I started buying all their shit, and I love it.
That's awesome. And the only Ministry song I know is Jesus Built My Hot Rod.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's the only song I know by them. And I think that's the one that's got quotes from that movie that was based off of that book. That female writer from back in the 30s. What was her name? She's like the best short story writer ever.
I got nothing here.
The guy who wants to start the church, without Christ, and he decides to blind himself by putting lie in his eyes. What's his name? What's her name? Georgia O'Keeffe.
Georgia O'Keeffe. And you're saying that the only Ministry song you ever heard, who, by the way, that song doesn't have the lead singer of Ministry singing in it. It has the lead singer of the Butthole Surfers singing in it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is
Ministry. Yeah. You kind of stole that song from the Butthole Surfers, I think, didn't I?
Okay.
Anyway, I had no idea that it's... I knew about the Butthole Surfers thing, but I didn't know about the Georgia O'Keeffe thing. And I never thought I would say a sentence that had both Georgia O'Keeffe and Butthole Surfers in it.
I just can't believe you've never heard any other Ministry. You've never heard, like, New World Order or Just One Fix or any of their...
To be fair, Ian, I probably have. I just didn't know that's what... I didn't... Because I listen to a lot of Pandora, you know, and stuff comes up, and I say, "Oh, I like that," but I don't pay attention to who wrote it. And given that I haven't been blasted out of my gourd too many times, perhaps there's an opportunity here to marry the two experiences. I will go get myself blasted, and I will listen to Ministry, and then I'll know what it's like.
Well, they have a real uplifting, positive album called "The Land of Rape and Honey."
Ah, that's wonderful.
Classic.
It's a feel good album the whole way through. Especially if you're on speed.
I'm trying to figure out the name of the movie, but it's probably not important, so I shouldn't bother. Drugs, gentlemen. So you, Ian, you were asking Joe both ends of the spectrum. I think you were getting at when a very mellow drug experience versus a very intense drug experience. Is that what you're getting at? Like meth versus marijuana? Is that the spectrum?
I wouldn't say one of those is mellow versus intense. I think they can both be pretty intense. I really hate marijuana. It just makes me feel terrible. And I miserable. Like I sit around feeling thirsty and hungry and the conversation's going on and I'm thinking, and finally I think of something to say and then it's too late because the conversation's moved on and I'm sitting there like sweating bullets and feeling anxious for like an hour, and I look at the clock and it's only been 3 minutes, and I'm like, "Fuck, fuck, this is never ending." So I hate that. But so it's pretty intense for me. But yeah, I think slow versus fast, I guess.
And you know, I think I'd like to chime in on that because weed is supposed to. I think maybe there's so many different kinds of weed now. I have no fucking clue. But weed, when I was in high school and college, like, weed was synonymous with relaxation and chilling out, laughter, eating food. But when I was about 20 years old, one day I smoked a bowl and I had a fucking severe panic attack and thought I was going to die. It was like about the least relaxing situation I've ever been in. And I haven't smoked pot since. So to me, pot is like just a jackhammer. You know, being bored into your fucking skull. Like, all of a sudden, it was the most horrible thing. I can't stand weed.
That's why I stopped smoking weed in, like, sophomore year of high school, because it was too much. Couldn't do it.
Anyway, I think a lot of people that smoke pot don't have that experience.
I'm pretty sure if they had that experience, they would not do it, because it's terrible.
Well, hopefully none of them listen to this podcast, because I was wrong. It was not Georgia O'Keeffe. She's the one who painted pictures of flowers that look like vaginas. The writer I'm thinking of is Flannery O'Connor. I'm an idiot, not Georgia O'Keeffe. And how sexist for me to have confused the two. Flannery O'Connor, who wrote Wise Blood, which they made into a movie, which had quotes from it that were used by Ministry in their song, with frontman from The Butthole Surfer singing.
Well, you were onto something there, but you'll notice that neither Ian or myself could call you on it, because we had no fucking idea what you were talking about. But, and clearly, I don't know who Georgia O'Keeffe is. I've heard the name, and when you said short story writer, I was like, okay.
So I do, because my dad's an art history professor, but when he said it, I just said, oh, I didn't know she wrote stories.
Yeah, because you're a trusting man.
Oh, see, Ian knows what the fuck is up.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I don't know if she didn't write stories, so I guess that's okay.
I am not high right now, but maybe I should be. Then I wouldn't care about making these mistakes on a internationally syndicated podcast. Okay, so
maybe
syndicated.
It'd just be that much more anxious.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I've never smoked marijuana, actually, gentlemen. I don't know what that experience is like, and I'm guessing that if I did smoke it, I would probably listen to Tool. And if I did cocaine, I'd probably listen to Tool. If I did meth, I'd probably listen to Tool. Heroin, Tool.
You know what? I gotta tell you, in my time of experimenting with drugs, pretty much any drug that I might try, Tool was near the top of the list. It really worked with everything, and it works even today with sobriety. But
I just went to a Tool show and I felt and it was great. Stone Cold Sober, and it was just lovely. Except that they didn't play anything off of Undertow, but other than that, great.
You went to that.
I would have been a little disappointed, but I don't think Tool can disappoint me if I'm watching them play. But Undertow, so good.
Yeah, it's my favorite. But you know what? Then when they play Anima, whatever, however the fuck you call it, yeah. That's all I really need from a show.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and in my. What I'm getting at is, although I've not done any of those drugs I've mentioned, if I did, I would listen to Tool. And we got into the music thing because I was talking about running. Tool is my, you know, usual go-to for a run. I mean, I listen to other things as well, but if I can't think of anything else, if I'm not inspired to pick something out, Tool's the default. They just go good with everything. Now, I have not had sex with five cheerleaders at the same time while listening to Tool. But if I did have sex with five cheerleaders at the same time, I would want Tool to be there. I think I would want them to be there.
Joe's gotten pretty close. Maybe he can tell you what that's like.
Well, let me tell you guys. No, I'm just kidding.
So, okay, since we're talking about drugs and not music, Joe, what you guys are the experts. Tell me, what drug would you have to take in order to have sex with five cheerleaders at the same time?
Let's go with, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and say meth and or ecstasy.
Yeah, okay. And the real question is, what drugs would the cheerleaders have to take to all have sex with you at the same time?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Again, the answer is again meth or ecstasy.
No, I think the answer is cyanide. I think the answer is cyanide.
I nominate that for the darkest moment on this. This episode only. It pales in comparison to many other moments, but the fact that Jason just it's gonna take five dead cheerleaders for him to have sex with them is fucking gnarly. Oh.
I'm being realistic. What can I tell you? You know what? Well, if they want to try the meth first, fine. But let's face it: when push comes to shove, and that's what sex basically is, they're not gonna. They're not going to be able to follow through, I don't think, unless they are without
everything
license.
That's coming out of your mouth sounds sexual.
I just can't do it. Give me the sign.
I think that, yeah, anyway. So we're talking about drugs, we're talking about music, we're talking about cheerleaders, we're talking about sex. I don't know if you guys have any drug stories. I only have one drug story. It's not even a very good one. And it was the time I got a tooth pulled, and it took a long, long time. And the dentist, it was an emergency situation. He felt really bad because the guy was basically standing on my chest with a pair of pliers shoved in my mouth, yanking, right, as hard as he could. And so I was all numbed up at the time, obviously. And he got the thing out. And I said, thank you. And he said, here's a prescription for Vicodin. And I said, oh, is this going to hurt? He said, the tooth won't hurt because it's gone. But your jaw, because of the things I was doing to it, is really going to feel bad. And I said, okay, thank you. So I went to pharmacy, got it filled. And you got to understand that up to this point, I was pretty much a teetotaler when it comes to, you know, drugs. I had sampled alcohol on occasion, but it wasn't a boozer like I was a few years ago. And I got the prescription anyway because, you know, prevention, and was a pound of it. Prevention is worth $3 worth of cure. I don't remember. Anyway, point is this. I got the thing, but I didn't expect to take it. And then I got home and I went to bed. And the next day I woke up and I threw as much of that fucking Vicodin in my mouth as I could. And then I drank a glass of wine and then I drank two more. And I got to tell you, gentlemen, it was the most wonderful experience that I've ever had. And I am putting that up.
Jason.
I'm putting that up next to the day I got married, the day my son was born, the time I had sex with two cheerleaders at the same time, one of whom was actually alive. I'm putting it up next to all of those.
The thing about drugs is that they're a lot of fun and they feel great.
Well, and that's why people develop terrible problems, because that's, you know, it triggers these pleasure centers in people's brains, and suddenly people just start chasing that over and over again. They can't find other ways to get there, and before you know it, you're sucking dick behind a dumpster, my friend.
I'm not saying that I ever got to the point where I was willing to suck a dick behind a dumpster. I mean, unless there was a camera involved, it was my own dick, and there was some money. Maybe. You know, I'm just saying, Vicodin will make you limber. My point is that
I thought you retired that act a long time ago, in 2009.
Well,
the aristocrats.
To your point, Joe, I think it's a valid point, is that I have not taken Vicodin with any kind of regularity since then, knowing that if I'm taking Vicodin, I'm drinking wine, and if I'm doing these two things, I'm sitting on a couch for 4 hours listening to Tool. That's all I'm going to do, because it's too wonderful to not do these things.
Right, it's too wonderful to waste on anything else, right?
Exactly. So that's my drug story. I'm sure you guys have better ones.
I do. I mean, a lot of my drug stories are just absolutely horrifying. I'm trying to think of a fun one. I can think of funny mean ones. What, Joe?
If Ian, if we pull some stories from, like, down on Payne Street in Sevierville, Tennessee, then that might not even be fun. It might just be scary, and this is not the horror episode. But there might. But you know what? Jason had one with painkillers. I thought it was a good one. I have kind of a terrifying, but now in retrospect, hilarious story about tripping acid. Okay. And then I'm sure, Ian, that you might have some also terrifying, but maybe funny or just intriguing story about, I don't know, meth.
Let's dope. Say for random choice meth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, would you like to begin, Ian?
Okay. Yeah, sure. So one time I was at – Jason, I know you don't know a lot about meth, but there's several ways that you can take it, and the most common way is probably doing lines like you would a coke, and then some people, when they get pretty hardcore, they are shooting it up in needles, and then you can also smoke it. But I found this other way that I really liked, which was which gave you sort of the intensity of the high of shooting up with, it was all the fun of shooting up and none of the guilt. I guess I don't want to give too many instructions on how to do drugs, but basically you eat it, right? You there's a way that you prepare it and eat it, and then it is you feel nothing for a while, and then you feel a little bit high, and then all of a sudden you feel like your head's going to blow off. And I think I was actually with Joe, and we were in Sevierville, and we did some of that, and then nobody felt anything, and we decided we were going to go to Dairy Queen to get ice cream, and we walked over to the Dairy Queen, and as I stepped forward to give my order, at the Dairy Queen counter, it all hit me like a truck. And I suddenly have like sheets of sweat coming down my face, and I'm shaking and holding myself up against the counter trying to order a Blizzard. And I think the lady must have thought I was dying. And I felt like maybe I was, but I think there were five or six of us, and it was hitting us all around the same time. So we walked over there like normal people, and then we all suddenly just started like just being just insane while we're at Dairy Queen, and barely made it back to the house we were hanging out at before we just had it. So that was fun, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Before,
that was fun, I guess.
Before we even knew it, the sun had risen, and oh man, you know.
Oh yeah.
It's, my experimentations sometimes with Ian Sane, with meth, it made it very clear in just a little while that I never wanted to do the shit again, because it will drive you insane and you'll end up dead.
This
happens a lot. So
the longest I stayed up on it was, I think, 8 days. And
I was
so crazy. I had like a complete psychotic break at that point. Like, so I was so crazy. Like I was staying at a friend's house cause he had had more experience than me. I'm sure you met him at some point, but we won't name him. And I'm hanging out in his house watching cars go by. And I was completely 100% convinced that like the cops were coming for me, and there were cars, like they had the red cars. So there was like a red Subaru, and then there was like a red Jeep, and there was like a red truck, and in my mind it made complete sense that like they were in the red ones, and so every time a red car went by, it was evidence that, you know, there's the cops, because there's the red ones, more proof that the cops are there. And then I stayed with actually a guy I saw on this trip, the fireman, who is a good friend of ours. The fireman and his wife took me into their house and let me sleep it off for a couple of days, and it took me, I think, 3 days of sleep before I finally sort of came to. But yeah, you completely lose your shit after long enough.
I think that
Jason, but you know, yeah, go ahead. I gotta say, you really are playing with your sanity when you deal with a drug like that. And you did. It sounds like you did had a. You have. Look, I'm a Taco Bell manager. I know a psychotic break when I hear about one, and that is one. And yeah. This is why I call him Ian Sane. One, because that's his birth name, but it's right. But it makes a lot of sense because he pulled through with all of his marbles and is now a successful adult. I say adult kind of hesitantly, but you're a functioning human being in society.
Well, if you're up for 8 days straight, it doesn't matter how you got there. If you're up for 8 days straight for any reason, you're going to have a psychotic break, right? Which is not to belittle the drugs that you were. I'm going to say handling like a man, because you're a man, Ian. I'm saying this with like respect, sincere respect. What I'm getting at, though, is that 8 days of being awake, I don't care why you're for that
long. So I think you're absolutely right. I just think without drugs, your body will go to sleep before that. You can't
probably.
Unless you're being tortured and get hit with sleep deprivation, or you have drugs, you're not staying up for 8 days.
Right.
I think it's after like. Probably after like two nights, Joe, where the shadow people start showing up, and you start seeing and hearing the people watching you. And then after that, it just gets worse and worse.
I did once attempt to stay awake for 3 days straight. I was very young at the time, and yes, after 48 hours, I was hallucinating and had fits of paranoia and that kind of thing. I didn't make it the full 72. I made it about 60 hours before I finally just passed out and did not sleep well.
If you stay up for 3 days and there's not something like meth that's also splashed upon your brain, you might have some psychotic symptoms, but you're going to bounce back. The big risk about staying up for fucking 8 days on meth is that you may or may not bounce back, and you might be gibbering scary bullshit into a mirror indefinitely.
Joe, let me see if I have you correct here. Are you suggesting that Ian Sane's 8 days of meth was that he didn't go insane, something of a miracle? Would you say it was miraculous? I'd say that he was
rolling the dice.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I was clearly in the danger zone. And I will say, I think that if instead of getting 3 nights straight of sleep, if I had like gotten a night of sleep and then had piled some more on or something. Who knows what would happen, right?
But, yes, you guys are absolutely correct. But what I'm getting at is, if this were, say, later in the year, I don't know, late November, early December, and Ian has an 8-day miracle.
It was the middle of the winter.
It was the middle of winter. So what you're telling me is that, like, if every day was, I don't know, a candle, let's say, and you didn't have enough oil, and yet you're still somehow, you know, and I say being awake, I'm saying lighting the candle without oil. Would you say that was a miracle?
I'm trying to think of a pun that is Hanukkah and meth at the same time. And you're giving me a lot of time to come up with something, but I got nothing. The only thing I could come up with, oh well, it's Hanukkah crack. But we're not talking about.
And at the end of the day, there was plenty of oil, right? That was kind of the problem.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah. I really reached for that one, guys. That's incredibly bad jokes. That's my mess.
That's you just trying to – you're throwing the basketball up right in front of the hoop, and Ian and I are, you know, we're running up to the hoop like he just wants an alley-oop, and we can't even make it to the rim.
Yeah. No. So I'm just glad
anyway,
you guys
it was a good try.
Thank you. Thank you. So there we go. So that's your meth story. I told you my Viking story. Joe, do you have one in particular?
Well, he's talking about possible insanity. Well, true insanity, luckily temporary insanity after 8 nights of substance abuse. But I witnessed a few times, you know, when you take hallucinogens, you can have just one real, real strong night of insanity. You're still rolling the dice, but the likelihood of bouncing back is better. But I had a couple of just singular nights on hallucinogens where some of the shit that happened was just bizarre. And here's one.
Okay.
We were down on Payne Street in Sevierville, Tennessee, and a group of friends and I all decided to do some acid. So we did some acid, and we decided to play Earthworm Jim in a trailer park, the same trailer park that I grew up in, well, on Payne Street. And we're with a group of friends at my friend's trailer. We're playing Earthworm Jim. We're hallucinating. Everybody's laughing because Earthworm Jim is going to make you laugh if you're sober. It makes you laugh almost to the point of medical emergency if you're hallucinating. And so we're all there, and my friend's sister was out with another group of people, and they were all tripping acid, and these two groups of people did not get along at all. In fact, there was like a real animosity between between a member of my group and a member of this other group. Mm. And think about this is a tiny trailer, so we're all, you know, on acid, huddled around Earthworm Jim, and this whole other group of people, all tripping also, walk into the small trailer. We all hate each other, and it was so, like, you could cut the tension with a knife, and it was just so fucking terrible. And pretty soon, one of these guys starts looking at one of my friends and is like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? And of course, neither of them know what they're looking at. Most of the shit that they're seeing is coming directly from the dream state of their own mind. And it just got to the point where I couldn't fucking stand it anymore. And I can't believe that I did this. I was trying to light a match to smoke a cigarette to kind of calm myself down a little bit. I didn't know what to do in the situation. And suddenly I decided these guys were about to fight, and they kind of went up chest to chest. Now, these are people on acid. Like, this is a fucking nightmare. People, yeah, like wanting to fight on LSD. Good God. Just terrible. And Earthworm Jim is in the background, so it's like a double nightmare. Like, Earthworm Jim is no longer entertaining. It's like it's like a fucking just a kaleidoscope of terror at that point. We have no idea what to do. And I decided I need to get these people out of there. So I took the matchbook and I, you know, disconnected one of the matches, and I did one of those flick moves where you flick the match as you're lighting it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did that. And by the way, I wasn't able to light the match while I was trying to light my cigarette. But first try, I flicked the match and it went flaming through the air, landed in the fucking dude's head, on the dude's head, in his hair. The guy that was like, you know, antagonizing my friend, and his hair kind of partially caught fire on the side of his head. He started slapping his head and screaming no, and the whole group of people fucking ran out after him, and they never came back. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know if the gods were on my side or like I the most aggressive thing that happened that night was me throwing fire into somebody's hair. It was a desperate, weird move. People on drugs can't be trusted, really, is the moral of the story. And that includes me on drugs. But I do highly recommend playing Earthworm Jim in any state of mind. That was a fun game. Super Nintendo. Thank you.
That actually reminded me of the other guy I recently saw when I was out in Sevierville, the storyteller who we both know. I was hanging out at his house, and we were doing, I think, a lot of mushrooms and playing GoldenEye. And it's just, as everything is with mushrooms, it was hilarious because, you know, nothing better than shooting Russians. and so we're sitting there just like, and you know how you're just laughing so hard, you're peeking, you're laughing so hard that tears are streaming down your face, and we're still trying to play this game. And his mom walks in to the room and like looks at us and looks at the screen and looks back at us and like shakes her head like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with kids these days. Walked right back out.
Now, hold on. Did you guys all stop laughing?
No, we couldn't. We tried. It was so funny. It's always so funny. And it was just the two of us. Yeah.
No, it's just you and one other dude. I still had in my mind like a big group of people laughing hysterically at a video game. Okay.
Just being the storyteller.
Holy crap. See, Jason, you're lucky that you didn't have these fucking weird, disturbing experiences.
I would highly recommend mushrooms to anybody. Most of the other stuff I wouldn't, but I think mushrooms are fantastic.
You know, I think if I did any of the drugs that we've spoken of today, I can handle a beer. Sometimes I can handle five. But any of the drugs that we've spoken of, I don't think my mind is robust enough to deal with that anymore. I don't know if it ever really was, honestly. I'm glad it was an experimentation kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think you're not supposed to be able to handle it. I mean, if you do half a pound of cocaine and you're handling it, then it's a waste of money, right?
If you do a half a pound of cocaine, you will die.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm obviously.
I know what you're saying, right?
I'm like, down with the lingo.
You actually do want to lose it a little bit. You want to push the edges of your perception, kind of step out of your normalcy.
Yeah,
into an altered state.
That's the point. And someday, I don't know. I have a child, and someday he will be old enough to do drugs. And I think I know better than to give him the lesson of. I caught you doing crack, so now you're gonna smoke all the crack. I'm not gonna do that, you know. Just make him sick of it because he'll die. Not gonna do that. Hopefully, he won't ever try it. But I don't know. We've got cousins who live in Seattle, Texas, sister city of Seattle, Washington, where it's apparently legal to smoke there. Maybe my kid's 21. We'll take a trip. Haha, no pun intended. Up to see one of our cousins, and for the first time, I'll get a little relaxed with my kid. I don't know. That's not what I'm wishing for. Don't call CPS, guys. I'm just – I had a beer. I don't know what I'm saying.
You never know what's going to happen. You never know.
That's 19 years from now, so I guess there's time for me to decide not to.
Your son's two?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think you got a little time to figure it out.
Yeah, got a little time. Who knows by then what drugs will be.
It'll be legal everywhere, and you'll go do that with him as a trip, and he's going to be the one coaching you through it.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Or he'll be like, exactly. I'll say, all right, let's do this. And he'll say, okay, here's Dad. Here's what you need to do. I'm like, wait a minute, how do you know this? YouTube, Dad. I saw it.
Puff, puff, give.
Yeah. No, that's probably a more likely scenario. But then it'd be great if your son would be like, Dad, just. I'm going to make this really easy. I'm going to guide your trip for you. So come on in here. Take a puff of this. Step into this trailer. This is an ancient game that ancient human beings used to call Earthworm Jim. I want you to stare at the screen and just take a hit. And then don't fight it. Because that's not good. Don't fight it. Just go with it. Go with it, Dad. And that's how it goes.
That's wonderful. Guys, this hour has flown by. It's like, I don't think I've ever had an episode that was this fast. We're already at 60 minutes. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it.
That is incredible. And I got a hard stop coming up, and I know you guys do too, because, apropos to our days of yore when we would just go tripping balls. Do you trip your balls? How do your balls are, there's, I'm tripping all over my own balls.
You trip balls. You trip just trip balls.
Yeah. I never understood that phrase, but tripping balls.
I just always imagined it's a shortening of tripping your balls off, but who's to say?
Yes. I think you're right. But I always get the image of like running down a hill and then my huge balls get in the way and I trip over them and I fucking go just ass over heat.
Well, most of us don't have balls as large as yours, Joey, so I think that's why.
Well, that's the thing, I always got to watch out or I might trip on my balls.
Giant balls.
Gigantic balls you're tripping on because you've, I don't know what I'm saying. Guys, I've never done hardcore drugs, but you wouldn't know it from listening to me talk.
You've done a stroke or two, haven't you?
I've had three or four per episode, that's true, yeah.
He likes to do it on the air. It's cute.
It's cute. Yeah. All right, guys, well, this has been a great episode. And I look forward to the next one. Joe, I think next week we're going to talk about sports. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, I'll try my best. Maybe you want to get a guest that knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Kind of sports are you doing?
All of them.
Talk about the Olympics for an hour. That's good sports.
That's what we're going to do. So, Ian, thanks once again for improving our podcast by about 400%. Appreciate it. Joe, you have a fucking awesome weekend, everything. And now I'm going to push the volume up and one of you is going to shout something obscene as we fade out.
You motherfucker.
This is your brain on drugs.